Accession number 14615, real one.
Squadron Leader Cassells, real one. Where were you born, please?
In Alexandria, in Egypt.
How did that come about?
Well, my father went out there as a boy and eventually became a chief superintendent on the Egyptian State Railways, which was British run at that time. And he was out there, early 1900s, came back for the war, and then went back out again. And my mother was a nurse in one of the big hospitals. She was wartime nurse in one of the big hospitals out there.
Did you have your education in Egypt? Or
No. I went to Victoria College in Alexandria, or outside Alexandria, which is a big school. And we came home in 1930 to UK.
When you were nine?
He retired. Yes, eight, I think I was at the time. Eight.
Where did you have your schooling?
Air Academy in Ayr, Scotland.
How old were you when you finished your education?
18.
After the war had started?
Yes. I actually started off at the Royal Technical College in Glasgow. And the war was on by that time, just on. And my first year exams, I thought I had failed, so I decided to join the Air Force, which I did, and discovered afterwards that I had passed the bleeding exams. But I was, as it happens, I'm quite glad that it was that way.
Had you heard the broadcast of Chamberlain that we were at war with Germany?
I can't remember whether I heard it or not.
Did the outbreak of war have any impact on you at that age?
I suppose the normal sort of impact. I was a bit worried, but apart from that, no, not really. I didn't have any thoughts about it much.
Had you been in any of the early bombing of Britain by the German Air Force?
No.
Where were you living when that was going on?
In Ayr and in Glasgow, but they hadn't bombed Glasgow at that time.
Was it easy for you to get into the RAF?
Oh, I was in like a shot. They were quite pleased to have me. In fact, I joined up in Edinburgh, and I was sent down here to receiving wing at Torquay, and then Babbicombe for ITW, initial training wing, and from there I went to ETPS, which was Elementary Flying School at Anstey outside Coventry.
How did you get on with flying?
All right, no problems.
How many hours was it before you went solo?
Be in my logbook there, I forget, about 15 I think it was. It's a long time ago, I can't be exact. Without looking at the logbook, I wouldn't.
Were you determined to be a pilot, or would any other aspect
of
air crew
have been? I was only interested in being a pilot.
Why was that?
I don't know, I just, that was it.
Glamour?
Well, there wasn't much glamour about it, but no, I don't suppose. I had been in the ADCC, Air Defence Cadet Corps, prior to the war, and also, which eventually became the ATC, and I was in the, I became part of the ATC. And, you know, I met pilots like Squadron, was it? City of Glasgow Squadron. Sandy Johnson, who was stationed at Prestwick at the time, and he used to come and give us lectures. And one or two of the other chaps whom I heard of later, you know, Mickey Mount, I think, was one. All dead and gone now, I would think.
What was your next step after being at Anstey?
Anstey? I was flying Tiger Moths at Anstey. It was a civilian run ETPS. It was a very small airfield. And from there I went to Grantham SFTS, Senior Flying School, at Grantham, flying Oxfords, and from there I went to Cottesmore, which was the operational training unit, and there I flew Hamdens. They were equipped with Hamdens there. And from Cottesmore I then went to Coningsby to 106 Squadron. They were equipped, at the time I got there, they were equipped with Manchesters and were about to convert to Lancasters.
Had any of these training bases been attacked by the German Air Force while
there? No. Not to my knowledge. Certainly not whilst I was there.
What did you think of the quality of training that you had received?
Oh, very good. Excellent.
How keen were you to get on operations?
I don't think it was ever a matter of keenness. I knew that I would end up on an operational squadron, and that was it.
What was it like?
I wasn't given any choice at any rate.
What was it like flying the Hamden?
Quite nice, apart from the fact that we didn't get any dual as such. Dual flying, you know what I mean by dual. The dual in the Hamden consisted of sitting behind the pilot, the instructor pilot, no controls or anything, just sitting there and watching him do the flying, and then he would get out and say, right, it's yours, off you go, which is what I did, you know. So any mistake could have been a bad mistake.
And the Manchester?
Oh, a very much underpowered aeroplane with its two big engines, or four engines it was really, but it was... I didn't like flying the Manchester, and luckily I only did my second pilot trips on the Manchester. I think, as far as I remember, about 8 second pilot, just so that I got the idea of what it was like, you know, over the other side. And then I was converted on to Lancasters, which we were just getting then. I was converted, actually, by Hoppy Hopgood, who was on the dam raid. Who was killed on the dam raid, actually, Hoppy. And my mid-upper gunner on 106 Squadron, who was an Australian, Tony Bircher, he was the sole survivor. He was in Hoppy's aircraft in the tail turret. And he was just, you know, they'd been hit over the dam, and as they were climbing away, he got out of his turret and got to the back door. And as he got there and opened it, the airplane blew up, and he found himself on the end of his parachute at about 300 feet. Very lucky, he broke his back. His parachute opened fully just before he hit the ground, and he broke his back. The local population tried to lynch him, but the German army saved him. And he spent the rest of the war as a POW.
How did the Lancaster compare with the Manchester?
Oh, no comparison. It was infinitely better. I mean, a Manchester, if you lost an engine, you just came down. You didn't have the power to keep the damn thing in the air.
What was the leadership and personnel of 106 Squadron like when you joined it?
Well, my squadron commander was Guy Gibson. Need I say any more? He was my CO during the full 8 months that I was on 106 Squadron. And quite a number of the pilots ended up on 617 Squadron. Excellent. I mean, no question. You probably heard of John Searby. He was a flight commander. Eventually, he was my flight commander on 106. Who else? Woldridge. Dim Woldridge probably wouldn't have heard of him, because he was killed in a ferry trip across the Atlantic later on in the war. But he was married to Margareta Scott. You know, the Tricky Woo's owner in that vet series.
An actress.
Do you remember?
An actress?
An actress, Margareta Scott. Well-known actress, yeah.
What was Guy Gibson like as a super. Man and a leader?
Super. Follow him anywhere. He never asked you to do anything that he wouldn't do himself. He was a strict disciplinarian, but also he was, you know, he liked to party.
Any anecdotes about him or specific memories?
Not really, not specific memories. He was just a very nice chap, and as I say, he was somebody you would follow into anything. Mark, he was, well, he'd be about 24, I think, when I knew him. I was 20. Yes, he was 4 years older than I was, yeah. Good chap.
Do you remember your first main raid?
Main raid? Well, I was on the 3,000 bomber raids, but I, without looking at my logbook again, I couldn't tell you specifically my first raid was.
Well, you did some gardening operations
gardening,
in
yeah.
April and May to the Baltic and
that's right.
Heligoland Bight.
What was that on the Manchester?
Yes.
I was second pilot then, yeah. Yeah.
Do those gardening raids stand out in your mind?
Well, the ones I did on Manchester are the ones I did on Manchester
yes.
do, but I'm afraid I can't say anything about them because, as I say, I was a new boy, quite green, and I was, I must say, I was a bit surprised at the lack of press on spirit, shall we put it that way, in this particular crew, but I hope I haven't, no crew's names there, are there? At any rate, I wouldn't mention the crew's name.
Well, the pilot is in your logbook, of
oh,
course.
Oh, is he?
And then you had raids in Manchester on Warnemünde, Mannheim, and you've put Dusk and Dark. What does that mean?
Oh, Dusk and Dark was training. Landings, there's practice landings at dusk and in the dark, you know.
But you've got no memories of the bombing raids on in the Manchester?
I'd rather not say anything about them.
And then you converted in June.
I would tell you off the record, yes, but not on the record.
Then in June you converted
from
the Manchester to the Lancaster. And do you remember the raid that you did on Bremen in the Lancaster?
That was the 1,000 bomber raid. One of the 1,000 bomber raids. I don't remember it specifically. I mean, it was like any other raid, I suppose. Nothing that I can remember happened during that raid.
Of the various targets that you had in Germany, was there one which you disliked more than others?
No. The Ruhr wasn't very much liked, and certainly Berlin wasn't much liked. But I never went to Berlin while I was on heavies.
Was there any target in Germany which, as it were, you breathed a sigh of relief if you heard you were going to?
No, not really. I think whatever anybody says, we were all very frightened. Anybody who says they weren't frightened about flying on bombing raids is telling a lie. That's all I can say. I think everybody was a bit scared or apprehensive.
Was it the flak or the night fighters?
Flak and night fighters. Searchlights, funnily enough, gave you the because they had those searchlights that just, you know, and there you were. They were radar controlled, and once the radar controlled one had you, the rest of them came on, and you were sitting there feeling completely naked and knowing that there were fighters around which you couldn't see because of the light. But
you
We didn't jump for joy, shall we put it that way, when we knew where we were going.
Was there any technique for getting out of a cone of satchel?
Just wheeling, throwing the aeroplane all over the sky and hoping that you could break the lock, you know.
Were you confident that the aircraft would remain intact if you did that?
Well, I'll tell you one specific time when we were, funnily enough, going to a place called Kassel, K-A-S-S-E-L. And the route took us between Munster and the north of the Ruhr. And for some reason or other, I got a bit off track and I ended up over Munster on my Jackson and got coned. And we were up quite high, about 20,000, I suppose. And I threw this bloody great Lancaster all over the place, and it was quite a job, you know, for a little chap like me. And eventually, having been held all the way down, because we lost height all the way with this wheeling, eventually I, in desperation, pulled the stick back when I saw we were getting very close to the ground, too close for my liking. And there was the most awful screaming noise from the engines as I pulled the aircraft out, and all the lights started to go out, and all the searchlights went out. And I think they must have thought that I, you know, that I'd had it, and there was no point in holding me any longer. But that was one of the most frightening.
It looks as though that raid was on August the 27th, according to your logbook, because it says Kassel as the target.
It could have been. Yeah. If it's Kassel, yes, because it's the only time we ever were supposed to go there. Actually, we never got there.
Did you talk about fear, but did the pilots have lucky charms or superstitions?
Oh, we all did. We all did. I don't know that I had any particular lucky charm. My old battered cap, I think, was, I always made sure it was with me. But everybody had their little lucky charm of one sort or another.
Did you ever come across anybody who had premonitions about death or being shot dead?
No.
Did you make a will?
No.
Maybe you had nothing to leave.
Well, probably as an RAF officer, I probably had nothing to leave.
Were there occasions when you, that you remember, that when you did run into night fighters?
One time we were attacked by a night fighter, and Tony Bircher, who was my mid-upper at that time, shot it down. An FW-190, and it was over France, actually. It was either on the way into the target in Germany or on the way back home, I forget now. But Tony shot this thing down. And it was confirmed later, the resistance, you know, confirmed that it had come down in the area we said it was shot down in.
What was the target that night?
There again, you've got me.
Doesn't matter.
Can't. It should be in my logbook. Well, one fighter shot down, but I'd have to look through it to see.
We can find it.
Yeah.
Would there be occasions when you brought bombs back?
No, I never brought any bombs back. If we had to, and I don't think I ever did enter it. They would have been dropped in the sea.
Why was that?
Well, just get rid of them.
For safety?
Yeah, safety factor.
To what extent in these early days of the bomber offensive, we talk about 42 now, did you think that you were hitting the targets?
Well, there was no such thing as hitting the target in these days, really. I mean, we hadn't got the aiming equipment to do it properly. You got within 3 miles off this aiming point. I know we dropped our bombs on cities, but not necessarily where we were supposed to be aiming at, and in the city or on the outskirts of the city.
I didn't ask you how your crew was formed for your Lancaster.
I just sort of got them together when I joined the squadron. Picked up the odd bods as they came in. You know, I didn't have a crew when I joined the squadron, put it that way.
So it was just in an ad hoc way?
It was an ad hoc business, yeah.
Do you remember the individuals who were in your crew?
Oh, the main ones, yes, but not... you know, you've got so many different people coming in at times that you couldn't remember them all. I mean, you weren't with the one bunch of chaps the whole time.
What kind of losses was the squadron suffering at this time in 42?
Well, I've had recently, and used it quite a lot actually, a book by Robertson called Lancaster, Story of the Famous Bomber, which you may have heard of or may not have heard of. But in that, it lists every Lancaster that was built, and it also lists against their numbers what happened to them. Most of them are missing, you know, or crashed or something. It's a very, very good book. And in my time on the squadron, I think we lost in the region of 44 crews, and I was one of 8 to come through. One crew. Well,
what effect did that have on morale?
Can't remember that it had any effect, really. I mean, we never got despondent about it. I mean, they were expected losses. It wasn't nice when it happened, but there it was, one of these things that happened.
Did you ever come across this business of lack of moral fibre, or people who declined to go because they were just too frightened?
There again, I wouldn't like to... I'm thinking of Manchester days again. I wouldn't like to say yes, but generally, no. No. I heard of it happening. I mean, I heard of one crew. It was nothing to do with 106 Gordon, by the way. Just it was something that went round. They went that their whole tour until they got caught consisted of going out to the North Sea and just circling around until they came, but could come back again. There's no radar to check on them. And I gather that in the end, the navigator and the pilot had a blazing great row, and the navigator split on him.
So they were just swinging the lead, as it were.
Oh, yes. I should think there was quite a lot of dropping your bombs short and all that sort of business.
Could you have sympathy for people who did that, or do you think it was
not
just
really
despicable?
Not really. No. I mean, they were wasting their time.
Some people who have written books on Bomber Command seem to have alleged that Bomber Command aircrew had it cushy in the war because they had all kinds of special food and vitamin tablets and sunrail lamps and this type of thing.
I don't ever remember sunray lamps. I remember little capsules of olive oil or whatever it was. Not olive oil, but... And I remember eggs and bacon, which was the main thing that we used to get. But nothing special. Never got any special things.
Now, did you ever have, whilst you were flying the Lancasters with 106, did you ever have the plane badly shot up?
No, we got hit once or twice, but I mean nothing terribly serious. No flak through the wing or never got shot up by fighters, although I had one. Oh, that was later on, mosquitoes, actually.
We'll come on to that in a minute.
Yes, all right.
How did you come to leave that squadron?
I finished my tour, 30 trips. A tour was 30 trips in those days.
And all you flew always from Coningsby and Syston?
Yeah, we were at Coningsby to start with, and then the squadron moved up to Syston.
Is this Lincolnshire?
Syston.
Coningsby and Syston?
Well, Coningsby is down near Boston, and Syston is up near Newark, between Newark and Nottingham.
What were the kind of facilities at those?
Very good, very good.
How did you spend your relaxation time?
Drinking.
Whereabouts?
Oh, in local pubs at Coningsby and in the, I think it was the Black Boy, Mary's Bar in the Black Boy at Nottingham, which old Gibson used to organise parties there.
A party?
Oh, yes, we used to go in as a gang, you know.
How did he organise that? Just book a room?
He just said, Black Boy tonight, Castles, or whoever. Black Boy tonight. That was it. Oh, no, we didn't stay there. We all came back again. It wasn't all that far from Syston to Nottingham. And everybody had vehicles, so lots of them had vehicles that we could get in.
Did anybody ever fly under the influence of alcohol or even drugs?
Oh, no such thing as drugs that I know of in those days.
Well, pills and so.
No.
What would have happened if somebody flew under the influence?
Who knows? I think you'd have got clubbed good and hard if you had been found out, but...
Would it much have affected your performance?
I would think so. It would have.
What happened... After you'd finished your tour, did you go on to a new squadron then?
No. It was my rest period, and they wanted to make me an instructor, which I didn't want. I was very much against it. And I think it's down there, actually, in my list, but I forget exactly where I went first. I went to a training... flying training command station, and then I went on a flying instructor's course at Hull Abington, and having finished that I went back to this flying training command station, which had Wellingtons, and I made it clear that I didn't want to be an instructor. I wasn't temperamentally suited to being an instructor, and having risked my ruddy neck, didn't want some sprog pilot to break it for me. So, as a punishment, I was sent to 5-group gunnery flight, where I flew martinets as target aircraft on a gunner's course. You know, we used to fly the martinets fighter attacks on Lancasters just for the gunners to practice, not shoot at us, but practice. You know, and that was a very nice break.
So it wasn't a punishment.
Not to me, it might have been to the people who sent me there. I enjoyed it thoroughly, flying these single-engined aircraft. It was the first time I'd flown anything that looked like a fighter. And then, when that was finished, I applied for and got a mosquito conversion course. Went to...